to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. So in this passage here in Hebrews chapter 6, we are the heirs of promise. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Fathers, we go to Your Word this morning. Use it in our hearts and lives to encourage us, Lord, to grow us, to change us. We yield to You and are grateful that we know that Your Word is powerful enough to change us and do miracles in our lives. So, Lord, may that be the case today. May we open our hearts and hear from You. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. The Holy Spirit have free course in every heart. And we give You this time. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So the Bible calls us here in verses 16 and 17 in Hebrews 6, the heirs of promise. If you're born again this morning, that is you and that is me. We are the heirs of God's promises. Now, apparently somebody tried to count the promises of God at one point or another and got lost and said there were 8,810 or something, but there's a lot of promises in the Bible. And we can claim them because we are God's children. And when you come across the promises of God, remember that. We are the heirs. We inherit the promises of God because we are God's children. We are one in Christ. And, you know, the Bible mentions in 2 Peter 1:4, he says, the exceeding great and precious promises. That's the Bible. It's great and precious promises. Now, if I was to stop and ask all of you to share your favorite promise, I'm sure you all have one. Actually, I'll do that. Why not? Raise your hand if you have a favorite promise. You know it from God's Word, and you can rattle it off just like that. Brother Hemi? Your favorite promise? What's that? Okay. Quote your verse, your favorite promise. Anybody? Yes, Barbara. Amen. Anybody else? Surely. Brother? Amen. I go to prepare a place for you. Anybody else? Promise that you claim means a lot to you? Thought there'd be more hands. Monique? Amen. Hebrews 13, 5 or 6, one or the other. Anybody else? Great promises that mean a lot to you. Jackie. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 6. Good. Anybody else? Great promises that mean a lot to you. Huh? Romans 8, 28. All things work together for good. Kathy? That's right. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will always make a way of escape. Anybody else? Beth? Amen. Praise God for that. Anybody else? Yes, Christina. Amen. Praise God for His armor and His sword. Amen. Anybody else? Very good. So, we are heirs of these things. Right? Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We can claim that. That if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. We can claim that. That God will give us that perfect peace. They that wait upon the Lord. Most of you know that verse. Shall mount up with wings as eagles. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All things whatsoever you shall ask, compare believing, you shall receive. We could go on all morning. Brother Winsler mentioned, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. We are the heirs of these promises. And we can claim them. And as heirs of promise, we must be reminded, look at verse 17 of our passage, Hebrews 6, that these promises are rooted in the immutability of God. And I know that's kind of a big word but it's here in the Bible. It says the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. Immutability means unchangeable. Our God is immutable. He doesn't change. And so if God made a promise, God will keep it. His promises will not change, and he will not change. He is faithful. He will always keep his promises. And we can believe and claim that God is immutable. And his promises are rooted in that immutability, that trait of our God. Go, if you would, to Malachi chapter 3 in verse 6, where the Bible mentions again that God is immutable, unchangeable. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. But the Bible says here, Malachi 3, 6, just the last book of the Old Testament, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." God himself says, "I change not." That's God. He's always been the same. He will always be the same. He's always been holy. He will always be holy. He's always been faithful. He's always been merciful and gracious and loving. We could go on and on. But knowing that our God doesn't change encourages us, because we know that his promises don't change. And the fact that he'll keep his promises never changes, because our God is immutable. Not only that, but notice he says in verse 18 that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. So not only do we see that it's rooted in the fact that God's immutable, but also the fact that God can never lie. God is always true. And so his promises, as we read through his word, as we study it, as we meditate in it, as we hear it preached and taught and so forth, and we hear a promise, we can stop and say, "I know this promise is true, because God is always true. And I know that God will keep his promise, because God is immutable. God is unchangeable." And so his promises are rooted in the fact that he's immutable and that he is always true. As it says here, it's impossible for God to lie. I'm very thankful for that, and I'm sure you are too, that it's impossible for our God to tell a lie. He's always true. He always tells the truth, and he always does truth. The Bible says, go to Psalm 117, if you would, in verse 2, in talking about God's truth. We saw that he's unchangeable, he's immutable, but notice here in Psalm 117, verse 2, where the Bible talks about God's truth. "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Notice, the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Isn't that exciting? These promises are eternal promises. They endure forever. And when the day we were born again, we became heirs of promise, heirs of these great promises, rooted in the immutability and the truth of God. And then he goes to share with us, back in our passage in Hebrews 6, some of the things that we do inherit as heirs of promise. Notice the first thing he mentions here in verse 18, "who have fled for refuge." As heirs of promise, we inherit the safety of God, the protection of God. He becomes our refuge. Now, not only on earth, but eternally. Because when we get saved, we are put into Christ, and we are eternally protected from hell, the consequences of our sin. We're going to heaven, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. We are in God as our refuge. We inherit his safety. And go, if you would, over to Psalm 91 and verse 2, where the Bible talks about God being that refuge for us. Psalm 91, verse 2. Notice the Bible says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust." My friend, if you're born again, as an heir of promise, you have inherited the safety and the refuge. You've inherited the fortress, the impenetrable fortress of God's protection. What a blessing to know that. That anything that's allowed into our lives, any trial that comes into our life from the devil, from the world, God is allowing it. But ultimately, God is protecting us and will protect us. If it's our time to go, it's our time to go. Our soul is safe. We're going to heaven. We inherit the safety of Almighty God. And then back in our passage, Hebrews 6, not only do we inherit the safety of God, but notice we inherit the hope of God. Look, he says, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Every one of us this morning claims the great hope, the hope of salvation, the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, the hope of our sins being covered by the blood of Jesus and never being called back up again. We inherit not only the safety of God, but the hope of God. Look, if you would, over to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. I think this is one of the old Awana verses. Titus 2:13, but it's a great verse talking about the hope that we have as Christians. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't get any more blessed hope than that. To know that one day Jesus is going to come back and take us to glory. And so we inherit God's safety, and we inherit God's hope. Back to our passage, go to verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now I mentioned the safety that we have here on earth. I hinted at the safety that we have for eternity, but here God just says it right out. An anchor of the soul. We inherit the security of God. And as Christians in the church age, how blessed we are that we have an anchor of the soul that's sure and steadfast, Jesus Christ, and that we are secure in Him. Go, if you would, to John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about this security. John chapter 10 and verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I love that verse. I've actually had people try to say to me, yeah, but I can pluck myself out. I said, yeah, well, it says no man. That includes you. We're safe. We are secure. We have an anchor of the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing the devil or the world can do about it. And as heirs of promise, we inherit that security. You know, as Jude says in Jude 1, we are preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved. We are secure in Christ. And praise God, we have inherited that as heirs of promise. And then he moves on at Hebrews chapter 6. Go back there, if you would, verse 19. It says, and which entereth into that within the veil. And so as heirs of promise, we inherit God's safety, His hope, and His security. But notice we also inherit access. And we talked about this quite a bit on Wednesday nights in our Ephesians study. But really, it is quite amazing when you think about it. You know, last Sunday night, we looked at that glimpse that Isaiah was given of the great throne and the seraphims singing, holy, holy, holy around the throne of God. And just how powerful and beautiful and amazing that is. And to think that we as sinners have access to that throne because of the blood of Jesus Christ our Savior. Talks about that. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, if you would. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. The Bible says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Access. You got to understand, Old Testament saints, people got saved in the Old Testament, but they did not have access to God's throne directly. They had to come to the priest. They had to come to the temple, and the priest would make sacrifices on their behalf. And once a year, he would enter into the holiest place and make a sacrifice on behalf of the people. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says in Matthew 27, the veil of the temple is rent in twain from top to bottom, because God was saying, the veil is no longer needed. Anytime, any place, you and I can enter the presence of the Creator of the universe, the Holy One, because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that just amazing? We have inherited that access. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible also mentions this throne that we have access to because of what Jesus has done for us. Look at verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Look at verse 16 of Hebrews 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God put that word boldly in there. To think that we can boldly approach the throne of Almighty God. That as there's a promise, we have inherited that access because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Boldly. And so we, as heirs of promise, have inherited the safety of God, the hope of God, the security of God, access to God. But look at verse 20 of our passage, Hebrews 6. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We've inherited the intercession of God. Intercession. Which is amazing. Jesus not only was willing to die on the cross for us and shed His blood for us, but He's willing to intercede for us in heaven, which is amazing. Jesus is God. That He would care enough about His creation to actually intercede on our behalf. Because we see in the book of Job how the devil is often given access to heaven and tries to make accusation against God's people. Jesus just shows the prints of the nails in His hands. It's covered. That sin is paid for. Look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. The Bible says, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wow. He ever liveth to make intercession for us? That's what it says. For who? Those who come unto God by Him. So Jesus is the one who first of all made it possible for us to even access God. We come unto God by Him, but then He's the one who intercedes for us. There's only one intercessor, and that's Jesus Christ. We inherit this intercession, this access, this security, this hope, this safety, and hundreds of other things we inherit because we're born again in Jesus Christ. We're very blessed. Think about that. Think about the fact that God, when He makes a promise, He keeps it. Because He's immutable. When He makes a promise, He keeps it because He's true. God's always true. God can't tell a lie. It's impossible, as we read, for God to lie. It's not impossible for us to lie, but it's impossible for God to lie. And it's interesting how God makes such a big point of that, because really when you think about what happened in the Garden of Eden, it all started with some lies, didn't it? And we've been lying ever since. God can't lie. So if God promised us something, we can claim it. And it's true. And He will hold true to it. He will never leave us nor forsake us, as somebody quoted. We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And we could go on and on. We are the heirs of God's amazing promises. So go find some and claim them for yourself and live them and know that you have inherited those things and know that you are safe and secure in Jesus Christ, that you are protected by Him, that you have this amazing hope of His return. We all know it's going to happen. Why? Because He told us and He keeps His promises. And that we have access to Him and He is interceding for us as we speak. Could we be any more blessed than to be the heirs of God's promises? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your